I'd like to this morning to turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 11. Book of Matthew, chapter 11. We'd like to read the first six verses. Matthew 11. We'll read verses 1 through verse 6. And it came to pass, when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now when John had, that is John the Baptist, had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. In Matthew chapter 10, Jesus instructed and sent forth the 12 to the house of Israel. We are told in verse 1 of our text that following the instructing and sending forth the 12, that Jesus departed to teach and to preach in their cities, that is, the cities of Galilee where the apostles had previously lived. Then we read in verse 2 of our text that John, that is, John the Baptist, had heard in prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples. He sent these two disciples to ask Christ a question. And what we read in our text is an event that transpired in the life of John the Baptist. What we read here is of great comfort, great encouragement, but it also serves as an exhortation to each one of us as God's people. By way of background, John the Baptist was the one who prepared the way of the Lord. That is, he was the forerunner to Christ. He prepared the way of the Lord by preaching the message of God in the wilderness. People came from all over to hear him preach his message. And his message was a message of repentance. He preached to the religious leaders of his day, and he said, Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He told the crowds and the tax collectors and the soldiers, Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And people came from all over the area to hear John the Baptist preach, and they would fall on their knees in repentance before God, and many of them were baptized by John and his disciples. And the crowds just kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And some even began to think that perhaps this is the Messiah. Perhaps John the Baptist is the promised Messiah. But John said, No, I'm not the Messiah. There is one coming after me who is more powerful than I, and I'm not even worthy to untie his shoes. And one day, John the Baptist saw Jesus, and he said, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. He's saying, There he is. He's the one that I've been telling you about. And John faithfully preached Christ, even after Jesus began his public ministry. John continued to preach. And we're told in John chapter 3 that the crowds were getting smaller. That is, for John the Baptist. And the reason is because people were beginning to go after Jesus. And one day, some of John's disciples were a little upset by this, that John's crowds were getting smaller. And they said to John, Rabbi, He that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come to him. And John said, John responded, and I'm paraphrasing, I'm not here to compete with him. I have prepared the way for him, and I'm glad. And I'm even happier for him. He must increase, and I must decrease. So John was a faithful man of God. He was also a man of great courage. He was willing to call sin, sin, no matter who was committing it. And one day, he preached against Herod for living in an adulterous relationship with his brother's wife, Herodias. And Herod cast John into prison. And we read back in Matthew 4 and verse 12, now when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee. And now in our text in Matthew 11, in verse 2, we see that John is still in prison. And it was while John was in prison that he heard the works of Christ in Galilee and sent two of his disciples to ask Jesus, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? He sent these two disciples to ask Jesus if he was really the one that the prophets had promised, or should they start to look for another. I want to speak this morning on let there be no doubt, he is the one. Let there be no doubt, he, Jesus, is the one. We want to first of all view the circumstances and condition of John the Baptist as a picture of ourselves from time to time. We see here that John is in prison. John the Baptist, the greatest man born of a woman, a great preacher, bold and courageous, faithful to God, in prison. The one of whom Jesus said that beareth witness of me, John chapter 5. The one whom Jesus said bear witness unto truth, and that he was a burning and shining light. He's in prison. A man who had surrendered his life to the Lord. A man who had lived his life in the will of God is in prison. Now, in Bible days, prisons were nothing like prisons today. Prisons were dingy. They were dark. They were rat infested. They were a hole in the ground. They were a dungeon. That's what a prison was in those days. So John the Baptist is in a dingy, dark hole in the ground. He's in a dungeon. There he is, man of God. He's in prison. A man who had seen Christ. A man who had been with Christ. A man who had experienced the power of God in his life. And there he is, in a dungeon. And we today live in a day of dungeons. We live in a day of prisons. And many a child of God finds themselves in a dungeon of some sort. And we've all been there. We've all been there at some time when we are in a dungeon. We've all had some prison time. I'm talking about in our saved life. Of course, if you're lost, you're in prison. You're in a dungeon. But even the saved can find themselves at times in prisons. There are all sorts of prisons. There are all sorts of dungeons. There are the prisons and dungeons of health problems. There are the prisons and dungeons of financial problems. There are the prisons and dungeons of family problems and of broken relationships and of failing careers and of disappointments, of loss, of heartache. And then there are prisons of our own making. Many folks create their own prisons. They create their own dungeons. But no matter what prison you're in, no matter what dungeon you might be in, these prisons and dungeons are empty places. They're places of emptiness. And every one of us, from time to time, has to wrestle with the issue of emptiness. We've all been there. There have been times we've had to wrestle with that issue of just being empty. It could be physically. It could be emotionally. It could be spiritually. But there's an emptiness. We know that dreams and goals can become empty. Feelings can become empty. Prayer can become empty. Bible reading can become empty. Worship can become empty. And when that happens, you're in a prison. You're in a dungeon. These prisons and dungeons not only are empty places, but they're difficult places. It's never easy to be in a prison. It's never easy to be in a dungeon. No matter what kind of dungeon it is, it's never easy. It's always a difficult thing. They're also very dry and unsatisfying places. And you find them to be lonely and isolated places. The individual who finds himself in a prison and dungeon finds themselves very lonely and finds themselves isolated at times. And I'm sure John was experiencing all of these things. Prisons and dungeons can be very upsetting, can be very disturbing. Places of sadness, places of dejection. They can become places of pessimism, and they can become places of fear. These prisons also are places of helplessness and despair and hopelessness. These prisons can also be times of wondering and doubt. You find yourself in a prison, and if you're there long enough, you will find yourself wondering. And you'll find yourself perhaps even beginning to doubt. There are many dungeons. There are many prisons. And without doubt today, we know that every lost sinner that's sitting here, you are in a prison, you are in a dungeon of which you cannot get out. That is, in and of yourself, you cannot get out of that prison and dungeon. There is only one who can deliver you from that prison, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. But we also know that there are those who are saved, that find themselves in some sort of prison, some sort of dungeon. John the Baptist was in prison. Now, this was a literal prison that John was in. But from the time of Matthew 4, verse 12, where John was cast into prison, the hours eventually became days. Days became weeks, and the weeks became months. And that's how it is with many of the prisons that God's people find themselves in. The hours eventually turn into days, and the days turn into weeks, and the weeks turn into months, and the months turn into years. John the Baptist is in prison. And I believe that pictures many a child of God today. But also, John was in a circumstance. He was in a situation that he did not expect. John the Baptist, a great preacher, bold and courageous in the faith, faithful to God, now in prison. I don't believe that John expected to end up in prison. As you look at it, this is the end of the road for John the Baptist. He's living his final days in what seems like failure, what seems like embarrassment and shame. He's living his final days. He is a man who had lived his life for the Lord. The Bible says that he was filled with the Spirit of God from his mother's womb. He had surrendered at a very early age to be God's spokesman, to be the forerunner to the Messiah. He had lived his life doing God's will. And now, there he is, the final days of his life. And he's in prison. And the fact is, he's not getting out. There would be no rescue physically for John. There would be no release like it was with Peter in the book of Acts. There would be no earthquakes like there was with Paul and Silas. No, John would eventually be beheaded. Matthew 14 records that John the Baptist was beheaded by Herod. So this is where it would end for John the Baptist. He would die in that prison. Now I can only imagine that as John sat in that prison month after month, he was there approximately 18 months, but there he sits. And I've got to believe that if there were times where he had to wonder why Jesus had not done something to get him out of that prison. There had to be days, there had to be moments where John wondered, why? Why has not Jesus done something? Why has he not released me? Why has he not performed a miracle to get me out of this prison? And you imagine John thinking, here's Jesus, he can raise the dead. Why can't he get me out of here? Why doesn't he get me out of here? You can imagine him thinking, if Jesus is the King of Kings, if Jesus is the Lord of Lords, why doesn't he come here and why doesn't he clean up this mess? We all wonder. I mean, the days in which we live, we find ourselves wondering sometimes, why, Lord? Why are you allowing this to go on? How much longer? And when you find yourself in a prison, in a dungeon, you have some time to wonder. It's usually not healthy. But you have some time to wonder. And I can see John sitting there month after month, looking at the cold, damp walls of his prison cell and thinking, this is not what I expected. This is not what I expected. And God's people will often find themselves in places, in circumstances, in situations that they did not expect, that they made no plans for. You may be faithful to the Lord. You may strive to serve Him in everything you do, but things will not always turn out the way you expected. Things will not always turn out the way you hoped for. You may raise your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and you may be faithful in doing so, but I want you to know Things may not turn out the way you expect. Things may not turn out the way that you hope for. You may make plans, and there may not be anything wrong with the plans that you make. But things may not turn out as you expected. It may not turn out the way you planned, the way you hoped for. The truth is, the victories and the mountaintops of yesterday may be short-lived. They may be short-lived. You don't know. Things may not turn out as you expected, as you hoped for. There are going to be things that we do not understand. Did John understand all the reasons he was in prison? I don't think so. Just like you and I do not understand everything there is to know about what happens. There are going to be things that we just don't understand. There are going to be things that perplex us. And there are going to be things that we cannot explain. Now you think about John the Baptist. He preached a victorious Messiah. Read Matthew chapter 3. He preached a Messiah who would come with his fan in his hand, gathering the wheat into the garner and burning the chaff with unquenchable fire. And there's John sitting in prison. And he hears about a meek and lowly Jesus that is going about doing good, and things perhaps just were not all adding up in John's mind. And sometimes, in our minds, things don't add up. And we can't explain it. But what are we going to do in those times that we did not expect? What are we going to do in those times when things just don't add up in our thinking? Where God's ways do not always fit like we think they will. What do we do then? Well, we see John the Baptist. He's in prison. And he's in a circumstance and a situation that I am sure he did not expect. But I want you to notice there were some encouraging news while John was in prison. We see, first of all, in verse 2, John heard in the prison the works of Christ. Oh, how we ought to praise God. And no matter what prison you might find yourself in, no matter what dungeon you might find yourself in, prison walls cannot shut out the news about Jesus Christ. John heard while in prison about the works of Christ. You see, that dungeon could not keep John from hearing. That tells me that if and when you find yourself in a prison, no matter how dreary it may be, no matter how dark it may be, no matter how lonely it might be, listen for the message of Jesus Christ. Listen for the news of Jesus Christ. Because there is news, we have to listen for a word about Christ. And then notice that John inquired of and about Christ while he was in prison. Many will say that John had doubts here, and perhaps that's so. I believe you could preach it that way, but I believe you could preach it another way also, but that's not the point of her message. But my point is this. John inquired of Christ. He had heard the works of Christ. So what did John do? He sent two of his disciples to inquire of Christ. So even while John was in prison, he had some access to his disciples. That's obvious. And when you are wondering, and when questions are rising in your mind, and when you have doubts, inquire of Christ. You don't need to go anywhere else. You take all your wondering, you take all your questions, you take all of your doubts, even when you're in that prison, and you go and you inquire of Christ. Do you know what people like to do? They like to inquire of other people who are in prison. Who can't help them. And they go deeper and deeper and deeper into the dungeon. You need to inquire of the one who can help you. And that is Christ. Then notice, Jesus sends John a message. And it's a message of revelation. The question is, in verse 3, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said unto them, that is the two disciples, go, and then notice, go and show. Go and show. That is, go and reveal to John. Go and unveil to John again those things which you do hear and see. And then notice verse 5. The blind receive their sight. The lame walk. The lepers are cleansed. The deaf hear. The dead are raised up. And the poor have the gospel preached to them. What is Jesus saying here? Again, the question is, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Jesus is saying to the disciples of John, you go back to John and you tell him, I am the one. There is no need to look for another. I am the one. That's what Jesus is saying. And when you find yourself in a dungeon, no matter how dark, no matter how dreary, no matter how dry, no matter how difficult, no matter how upsetting and disturbing, no matter how lonely and isolated, you do not need to look for another. He is the one. He's the one. He's the only one. He is everything that the Word of God declares Him to be. He is everything that He has declared Himself to be. He is everything that He ever was. You do not need to look for another. He's the one. Look to Him. Look to Him. He's the one who is creator and sustainer of all. He's the one who has the fullness of God, the possessor of everything, the possessor of all fullness, a fullness that can never be diminished, a fullness that can never be exhausted. I'm telling you, He's the one. There's no need to look for another. He's the one who is the brightness of His Father's glory. He's the one who is sovereign Lord of all. He is the one who governs all. He is the mighty conqueror of His foes. He is the one who overcame the world. He's the one who overcame death. He's the one who overcame the grave. He's the one who overcame the devil. He's the one who overcame principalities and powers. He's the one. Let there never be a doubt that He is the one. He is the one who sits at the right hand of the Majesty on high. He's the one. There's no need to look for another. He's the one that's greater than any problem, greater than any difficulty, greater than any trial, greater than any need, greater than any impossibility, greater than any infirmity, greater than any condition or circumstance that you might find yourself in. He's the one. He's the one. There is no need to look for another. He is the one in whom I have pardon. He is the one in whom I have cleansing. He is the one in whom I have forgiveness. He is the one in whom I have acceptance. He is the one in whom I have hope. Folks, He is the one who makes a difference. And you see, that's what verse 5 is talking about. He makes the difference. The blind receive their sight. Who made the difference? Jesus did. He's the one. The lame walk. The lepers are cleansed. The deaf hear. The dead are raised up. The poor have the gospel preached to them. You see, Jesus is the one who makes the difference. And that's true no matter where you are. That's true no matter what condition you're in. He's the one. He's the one who can make a difference in your life. He's the one who can make a difference in the lives of your loved ones. He's the one. There's no need to look anywhere else. He's the one. He is the one, and outside of Him, there is spiritual death, alienation, and hopelessness. Outside of Him. So wherever you are in your life, whatever your circumstances, whatever your situation, whatever your condition, let there be no doubt in your mind, He's the one. He's the one. He's the one you need. No matter who you are, and no matter where you are. We see also here in our text, there is a blessing. For every child of God, Jesus sends word to John saying, notice verse 6, blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. The word blessed speaks of joy, peace, and assurance. No matter what our circumstances, as children of God, there is a joy, there is a peace, there is an assurance that we can have. This joy, peace, and assurance has reference to a state of mind. It has reference to an inner condition. It's an inward joy, an inward peace, an inward pleasure, an inward satisfaction and delight. It is something that God does for man. It's not something that you can work up. It's not something that you can create. It's something that God does. And I believe that this blessedness, this joy, this peace, this assurance is independent of all circumstances. That is, it's not dependent upon the circumstances that we find ourselves in. If that were the case, we're no different than the lost man. But this is a joy that is independent of prisons and dungeons. But I want you to notice there's a condition for this blessing. Whosoever shall not be offended in me. To be offended is to have resentment. To be offended is to have anger. Blessed is the man who does not get upset by the way God runs his business. That man will have peace. That man will have joy. That man will have assurance. Could Jesus have delivered John from prison? Of course he could have. Could he have prevented him from going to prison? Of course he could have. But he didn't. Could the Lord prevent your loved one from getting sick? Of course he could. If they get sick, could he have healed them? Of course he could. But blessed is the man who does not get resentful at the way the Lord does his business. No matter what prison you find yourself in, you create another prison when you become resentful and angry toward God. Now you've created another prison. So blessed is the man who does not get offended. The one who can be left in prison. The one who can be silenced in his testimony. And seemingly deserted of his Lord. The individual that can shut out every doubt and be firmly settled in his convictions, he is the one. That man has happiness and joy and peace and assurance that the world knows nothing about. I ask you today, do you have that? Let there be no doubt. He's the one. There is no need to look for another. In closing, if you are in prison today, I'm talking to God's people. Don't be discouraged. If you are tempted to wonder, should we look for another? Don't go down that road. It's dark. It's winding. And it's a dead-end street. And you will not find the help you need. Do not go down the road looking for someone to blame. Don't go down that road. Those are roads that create more prisons. Don't go down the road looking for someone else. But just know and believe he's the one. He's the one that I need. And when you don't know why, trust him. When you don't know why, lean upon him. When you don't know why, rejoice in him. You're in that dungeon. Believe and know that he's the one. Notice in John chapter 6, and we'll close. John chapter 6, verses 67 through verse 69. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Amen. What was Peter saying? He was saying, Lord, you're the one. You're the one. And then notice verse 69. And we believe. And they're sure. We believe. If you find yourself in a prison, you need to believe. But it needs to go beyond that. We believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. We believe and we are sure. We're certain. You're the one. Do you believe that today? Are you certain of that today? I'm telling you, believing, being certain of that will bring light to any prison. Will bring joy to any prison. So we as God's people, we may find ourselves in prison. We may find ourselves in a dungeon. We may find ourselves in circumstances and situations that we did not expect and that we did not plan for. But we can still hear through all the prison walls. We can still hear the message of Christ, and we need to believe and we need to know. If you're here and lost today, you are in the worst prison that there is. You are in the darkest dungeon that there is. You are a prison to sin. You are a prisoner to Satan. You are a prisoner to your own fleshly lust, to your own depraved nature. You're spiritually dead. You're guilty before God. And no matter how hard you try, you cannot get out of the prison you're in. You cannot set yourself free. We pray today that the one and only Redeemer of sinners, Jesus Christ, would come to where you are. And He would break the chains that hold you in that dungeon and set you free. I'm telling you today, lost sinner, He's the only one who can save your soul. You say, well, I don't quite believe that. I'm going to look for another. You just go right ahead. And you'll get deeper, deeper, and more frustrated. There is no other. He's the one. He's the only way to God today. We pray, if you're here and lost, we pray that the Lord would reach down and save your soul. What you need more than anything is for the Savior of sinners to set you free. We that are saved, how we ought to praise God. And no matter what happens in our life, there is a joy, there is a peace, there is an assurance that we can have. Brother Larry, if you'd come and